KUOW's The Record rolls on now. I'm Bill Radke. How densely packed will the city of Seattle get? Well, yesterday, the city put a pause on allowing more backyard cottages and more mother-in-law apartments. The decision came after the Queen Anne Community Council appealed to stop the proposal. Architect Martin Kaplan sits on the Queen Anne Council. He brought that appeal to the city, which disappointed Laura Bernstein. She is a Yes in My Backyard advocate who wants more housing options and more lower-cost options. Laura and Martin, thanks for coming to KUOW.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Martin, you helped write the current law to regulate backyard cottages. Why is what we have now working?
The current code was written after a thorough analysis back in 2005 and 2006. And so we studied this for a year. We brought it out in South Seattle for 3 years as a test to make sure that our metrics were correct, that we weren't creating problems for neighbors or neighborhoods. And in 2009, we determined that everything looked great, that a number of the DADUs had been built and nobody had a problem with them. The code regulations were analyzed correctly. City Council agreed and brought it citywide in 2010, and that's currently the case. As long as you've got a piece of property over 4,000 square feet, you can build a backyard cottage.
And why didn't you like the expansion of this as it's constructed?
Well, the expansion that Mayor Murray and Councilmember O'Brien have proposed erases many of the regulations that we thought were very important. From earliest on in 2005 and 2006, one of the hallmarks of the legislation that we came up with was to require a property owner who wanted to build a backyard cottage to always occupy one of the units. We were afraid if that wasn't the case, then speculators and investors and developers could just buy up houses and create two rental units and then move on to the next one.
Laura, homeowners can already have a mother-in-law apartment, a backyard cottage. Why do you think we need more and larger units without this requirement that the owner live there?
There's a number of reasons. This is an example of missing middle-class housing. This is an example of housing that would be a starter home for folks. It would be a way for people to age in place. Having the owner occupancy requirement and saying that owners are quality folks or invested in their community, I hear a lot of hidden messages in there as a renter that are troubling to me.
Like what?
55% of the city are renters, and it's growing. In the U District where I live, we renters make up maybe 80% of the housing units. In Capitol Hill, it's about 80% or more. And as a renter that, you know, goes to all the meetings and does all the things that are measures from landowners of involvement or commitment, which I could question that as well. I think that, you know, people with time and resources are the ones that are able to attend, and also the nerdy passion for some of these land use issues that gets so wonky. But the idea that you have to have owner-occupied units to have neighbors that are invested in your community is really troubling. If you follow that down the rabbit hole of kind of what it's implying about people that aren't owners.
What do you think it's implying?
That we don't care as much if we're renters, or that we're not going to stick around, or that we're not going to contribute to supporting our small businesses, or that we're not going to contribute to community institutions or be more philanthropic. Or I don't know what it's implying, but it is troubling every time I hear it framed that way as a livability issue, that it has to be owner occupied to have a higher quality of livability for the existing residents.
Martin, are you saying renters don't care as much, won't stick around?
No, Bill, I'm not saying that. And frankly, with all due respect, Laura, there's no hidden agenda here. The issue with taking care of one's property is an important issue, but it's not the greatest issue. The greatest issue concerning our concern about owner occupancy is the conversion of single-family properties to multifamily commercial properties. They'll become Airbnbs, which is already the case. There's 210 DADUs that are already built, and many of those are already Airbnbs and rented. Very few of them actually are occupied by family members.
Well, the city could crack down on Airbnb rentals separately, right? But you just don't think they'll do it?
Oh,
like if the city doesn't like that, they could say, no Airbnbs.
Yeah, well, that could happen, Bill. I know that that's a current discussion. I have no idea where that's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a property rights issue, who you want to rent to, whatever. I don't know that.
Right.
But what we're concerned about, especially with this new legislation, is instead of being able to build 2 units on your property, you'd be able to build 3 units on your property. And there'd be a compelling interest of investors and speculators to then buy up homes. And the first homes that would be bought up would be those homes that are somewhat affordable right now. They would be displaced, and 3 market-rate units would be built and rented. And so that's what this is about. And to try and pit Laura and me against, renter versus homeowner, frankly, it's a tired argument that's insulting, and it has very little to do with that, other than the fact that there is anecdotal evidence that somebody taking care of their own property is often a homeowner. And keep in mind that there are 52% renters in the city of Seattle now. But I think the city said during our hearing that there was, I think, 20% of those renters actually live in single-family homes and single-family neighborhoods. They rent homes. So they're part of this.
I'm a home renter myself, a single-family home renter.
Okay, there you go.
So, Laura, Martin is saying that separate from renters versus owners,
yes,
that this expansion of backyard cottages, mother-in-law dwellings is not going to make things more affordable, that affordable homes will be bought up and expensive new units get created.
I'm excited about the new units that would be get created. I think that it would allow people.
I shouldn't say expensive, market rate, whatever,
yeah,
but
market.
That's been expensive lately.
Yeah. So I think that the issue of the housing being expensive citywide at all different bands of affordability, whether you're talking about people at working folks, people on fixed incomes or, single parents or whatever the affordability band that you're talking about is, I see this housing as it would be great for like a single parent to move into and be an affordable option. It would be a great option for folks going through life transitions, like a divorce or someone that's going into retirement and looking to downsize. It's just another housing option. I think that the Yes in My Backyard movement is about housing options and options for a variety of people to have access to the city. And I think what it comes down to for people that are looking for a long-term vision of Seattle, we see the change happening anyway. And what I see on my block is a single-family home is bought and a new home comes up and it's very wealthy folks building a mini mansion. And I see it as a lost opportunity because you could have had 2 families or 3 families sharing that same space and having access to all that the U District has to offer, access to light rail. And so from a environmental standpoint, having access to transit is to me an equity issue, and having more people have access to our city is an equity issue. I'm really concerned about the suburbanization of poverty, but I also am concerned about our communities being able to be generational and having multi-generations be able to stay in our city. And I think that backyard cottages and granny flats, there's a reason they're called granny flats. And I think that that kind of sums up for me why it's really exciting that we would have more housing options.
Martin, if you don't like this expansion of backyard cottages, what is a solution for more affordable housing in Seattle?
Okay, well, Bill, let's be clear. Backyard cottages are not affordable housing. They've been presented originally by the HALA agenda and in O'Brien's legislation as one method to solve or to address the affordability crisis. These units rent for $2,500 a month. Okay, in the city's own testimony, their witness confirmed that to build one of these units is going to cost $250 to $350 a square foot. And if you do the math, they're not going to rent for less than $2,000 to $3,000 a month. So in nobody's equation are any of these backyard cottages affordable, quote unquote. They offer housing choice, and more housing choice is terrific. But let's not connect this to affordable housing.
Do you want to see something done to make Seattle more affordable? And which you don't, that's not a requirement. But if you do want that, what would you do?
Well, Bill, I've been working most of my career to make, as a colleague of mine says, room for others. Okay. On the Planning Commission, that's what I did for almost 8 years of my life. Take a look at legislation and options for increasing housing opportunities. You know, look at upzone possibilities to create more affordability. And I mean, that's what I've done my whole career.
We haven't talked about the environment yet, and yet the city paused this backyard cottage expansion to perform an environmental impact study. Martin, could you just briefly let us know what environmental impact has to do with our discussion?
This project is the largest rezone in the history of Seattle. It will change the composition and character of every Seattle single-family neighborhood. So there are obvious environmental impacts. And so the different components of the legislation needed to be evaluated. And the city, instead of evaluating them, they basically just simply came out and said, there's no impact on this. And O'Brien said, don't worry about it. This is just a minor tweak. It's not a big deal. And the fact of the matter is the hearing examiner agreed with us that all of a sudden allowing three units on one single family piece of property is kind of a big deal.
Laura, what do you have against assessing environmental impact?
I think that when we talk about environmental impact studies and land use, we see in a number of places across the city where the environmental study process is being used to delay new housing. There's an urgency here that I feel like demands a response, and it's a crisis. And we declared a homeless crisis. We declared a housing crisis. We declared climate crises. And yet, when it's time to make some common sense changes, these were small changes to address barriers that had been come up. And to address these barriers and then to say, no, we need to slow this down. We need to do a further displacement study. We need to do that. These were small changes that were to address the unintended consequences. That study that was done in 2005 led to unintended consequences where there were onerous burdens on homeowners that wanted to add these units. And so this was to correct that. This was just a small correction.
Okay. Finally, where do you two agree?
Well, I think it's easy for us to agree that the city needs to move ahead with addressing housing affordability. One way to do it is to not suggest that when anybody stands up and says, I'd like to know what the impacts are of this because it may affect my life and my neighbor's life, is not to suggest instead that it's just some little minor tweak, because it's not.
Laura, where do you agree with Martin?
I think we agree that we should have a welcoming city for families, and that I hear a lot of times people asking for three-bedroom houses and new apartment buildings for families, and I see backyard cottages as a way for families to stay in our city. So I think we would both agree that families need to be a part of our future in our city.
Laura Bernstein is a housing advocate in Seattle, and Martin Kaplan is a former planning commissioner, and he sits on the Queen Anne Council. City Council member Mike Bryan sponsored this proposal originally. His office says they're taking a look at the decision. They're weighing options. We're talking about whether and how to allow more backyard cottages and mother-in-law apartments to densify and arguably cheapify Seattle. Whether or not that would work, that is, as you just heard, a matter of debate. We'll keep following that.